A very happy Friday it is. The Patriots needed to take the chance. They took the chance last night. I am thrilled about it. Drake May is your newest member of the New England Patriots. Drake May is your quarterback of the future. Drake May is the reason you can and should be hopeful today as a New England Patriots fan. Is it a risk? Of course it's a risk. Okay? Every single pick in the draft is a risk. Taking a quarterback in the first round is a risk. Can Drake May bust? He absolutely could, but the risk was worth it because the potential payoff in having a star quarterback is so great that you can't afford to not take the risk. And for that, today, I applaud Elliot Wolf. I applaud Gerard Mayo. I applaud Robert and Jonathan Kraft, who likely signed off on the pick. I applaud everybody. They made the easy decision. They made the simple decision. I believe they made the right decision. Drake May, newest member of the New England Patriots. It's the move that I wanted. It's the move that I hope the Patriots would be able to make. Is he a perfect player? No. Is he a finished product? No. But the upside is so unbelievably good that I couldn't pass on it. And I'm banking on that upside. And if that upside is realized, you're talking about a Josh Allen type player. And that is a top five player in the NFL. It's certainly a top five quarterback in the NFL. It is a franchise builder. It is a franchise changer. And for a franchise in the New England Patriots that has been irrelevant since Tom Brady left, this was the right move. And for me, it was the only move. You can get in. 802-585-3026. Text line. How are you feeling today? Are you excited? Are you happy? Are you hopeful? Are you disappointed? Are you angry? Did you want to see them do something else? Are you happy with what they did? What do you want the Pats to do tonight? We'll take your text. 802-585-3026. I am here. You are here. Danny is here. Danny, let go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And here we go.
The opening thoughts on the Brady Farkas Show are brought to you by Sticks and Stuff and Swanton Lumber, Vermont's most complete locally owned home center with locations in Enosburg, Derby, Middlesex, St. Albans, also Rouse's Point, New York. They are online at sticksandstuff.com. Danny, why do I love this pick? I've said this is the guy I want. This is the guy I wanted. Why do I love this pick? I love the physicality, right? I love the physicality. I love the athleticism. I love the body type, right? Drake May has all the physical tools that you could want. Drake May is big. Drake May is 6'4". Drake May is 230 pounds. Drake May can simply see over his linemen. I don't have to worry too much about passes being batted down. That is a concern when you have Drew Brees, when you have Russell Wilson, when you have Kyler Murray. When you have an undersized quarterback, that is a concern. Baker Mayfield has a lot of passes batted down. With Drake May, that will not be something that I worry about, right? He's simply big enough to play the position free of kind of those things, right? Defensive linemen are not going to get in his way. His offensive linemen are not going to shield him. That is a nice bonus to have, right? Part of his physicality. He has a very, very good arm. He can make all the throws, right? You want him to throw it 55 yards down the field in the air to a guy who's, you know, running in a play action, who's got separation, he can make it. You want him to throw it from the far right hash to the far left hash, he can make it. You want him to throw the out, you want him to throw the slant, you want him to throw it with velocity, you want him to throw it with touch. He's got every tool in his toolbox to make all the throws that NFL quarterbacks need to make. He's got the ability and the arm strength to throw in bad weather, and that's what playing in the AFC East is like, right? He's got the arm strength to make those throws. I do not believe that Mac Jones did. When you're talking about playing in Buffalo in December, when you're talking about playing in New England in January, we hope. When you're talking about playing in New York in December, those are tough. When you talk about playing in the places in the AFC playoff picture where you could potentially play in the playoffs, Denver, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, right? Those are all Baltimore. Those are all tough, cold weather, windy places to play, and you've got to be able to have the arm strength to cut through. And Drake May has that. And finally, he has the speed and the power as a runner to be a dual threat. Am I going to ask him to run the ball 14 times a game? No, I'm not. But I trust that I could run a quarterback draw with him and he's going to come out of it okay. Right? I don't know that I can do that with Kyler Murray. I worry about it with Kyler Murray. I worry about it with a smaller quarterback. I don't worry about it with Drake May. Right? It worked for Cam Newton for a long time. It worked for Josh Allen still to this day. It can work for Drake May too. I trust that I can run a read option with him where he can take off. I trust that the offensive line that right now is imperfect, that Drake May can, you know, scan the field and then can break out of the pocket and run away from trouble. And by running away from trouble, he can create some openings for his receivers. Right? And finally, I've said this for years. I want a mobile quarterback. A mobile quarterback can help me in the offense by running. He can help me in the offense by the threat of the run that causes the defense to account for him. And three, what if the Patriots had a problem at Danny at wide receiver the last couple of years? They can't get open. Right? They have no speed. They have no separation. Well, when Mac Jones is back there and he gets it, okay, snap, one, two, now I'm scanning, now no one's open, so now I force a throw that gets picked, or now I get hit, now I get sacked. Well, that's a problem. When Drake May gets it, one, two, no one's open. I'm going to roll right. I'm going to buy a little time. Oh, now that guy's open. Now I'm going to roll right further towards the sideline, and now that guy's open down the field. And now we've got a big play, or we've got a flag. Something has been created by Drake May's athleticism. That is what I want. That is what we have. It's that simple. Is it a risk? Of course it is. I saw people on social media saying he's too raw. They didn't want him. They wanted the sure thing, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is the sure thing. I had a buddy text me that he didn't like the pick. I like the pick. It's always a risk. Every player you take in the draft is a risk. Taking the quarterback was the smart risk for this team at three with this player. You know what I don't know that was a smart risk? Was taking Michael Penix at eight. You know what I don't know was a smart risk? Was taking Bo Nix at 12. Okay, those were risks that I don't think I would have taken. But Drake May at three was a risk well worth it. If it works, then you're set up for a decade. If it doesn't work, okay, yes, you are set back, but you can pick high again and try it again. And I would prefer not have that be the case, but it just might be. And if it is, I will still say it was worth the risk. You know what I didn't love? Taking Mac Jones at 15 as the fifth quarterback. Mac Jones was clearly the fifth quarterback in that draft. I didn't love settling on that. I thought the Pats should have traded up that year for Justin Fields. Okay, Mac Jones was the fifth quarterback in that draft, right? I think it was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and then Mac. You settled on the fifth quarterback, and I think you got those kind of results. A guy that we didn't end up loving. In Drake May's case, you got a guy who was the third quarterback, maybe the second, maybe the first. And you didn't have to give up anything to get him. The risk was the smart one. I'm glad the Patriots did it. I applaud Elliot Wolf. I applaud Gerard Mayo. I applaud everybody in the building who had a hand in making this pick. The future of the New England Patriots starts today. The next era of Patriots football starts today. The last 4 years haven't been so fun, right? 3 years with Mac, the 1 year with Cam. Again, I liked Cam more than everybody else, but it wasn't that fun to go 7-9. Now there's hope. Now there's energy. Now there's excitement. The Bills have gotten worse by trading away Stephon Diggs. The Dolphins are a team we don't trust. And the Jets are the Jets, and they have a 40-year-old quarterback. There's reasons for optimism here. How quickly can it turn around? Well, if they do everything right tonight and tomorrow, it can turn around pretty quickly. But I'm confident with Drake May that the Pats are heading in the right direction. 802-585-3026. That's 802-585-3026. Danny, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel hopeful. Finally, for once in a while. Like, you know, I don't know how good he's going to be right away, but we have a prospect, and that's something.
Tex says, great pick. Now need to get an offensive line. Tex says, great pick. I hope the Pats get some playmakers for him. the Pats need to do the rest of what I said. Draft all offensive players. From here on out, draft all offensive players. They've got a pick in the second, a pick in the third, a pick in the fourth, a pick in the fifth, and two picks in the sixth, I believe is what I said earlier on the afternoon news service. But every single pick should be made on offense. They've got the second pick of the night here in the second round. Second pick of the night. Buffalo picks first, then the Pats. Wide receiver.
Absolutely.
That's what I want. Huh?
Absolutely.
Wide receiver is what I want. Offensive lineman, I'd be okay with. Now, a bunch of tackles went yesterday, right? A ton of offensive tackles. I don't know what the depth is at tackle right now. This was said to be a deep tackle draft. The Pats need a tackle.
It was said to be even deeper wide receiver draft, wasn't it?
Yes, it's a very deep wide receiver draft. But offense, coming out of this draft now, the Pats needed the quarterback. They got it. They need two wide receivers at least, I think, right? So I want them to take a wide receiver in the second round. I'd settle for the third, but I want it in the second. So I look at their, I look around and I say, okay, they've got DeMario Douglas, who I like. They've got Juju, who's on the roster right now because of his money. They've got Kendrick Bourne, who's coming back from injury. I'm not a fan of Tyquan Thornton. I could do without him. I don't think Tyquan Thornton will be on this team. So I need to add into that group. Okay. I need to add to that group. Wide receivers, they need two of them. They probably need another tight end. They need multiple offensive linemen, and they're usually good to take a running back or two in a draft. Probably, well, just one for them in this case, but a running back who can be a depth back, a scat back, whatever. That's what they need. No defensive players. No defensive players. Another texter says, you don't agree with what Coach Belichick had to say about Drake May. Let's play what Bill Belichick had to say. Dan, did you watch any of the Belichick cast yesterday with McAfee?
I did not, no, but I saw the comments shortly after on Twitter.
I watched some of the broadcast live of Belichick. I watched mostly just the main ESPN feed, but I watched some of the early round stuff, like the first two or three picks with Belichick and McAfee. And I thought that Belichick was very, very engaging. I thought he was entertaining. I thought he was smart sounding, all the things you would expect him to be on TV. He is not a huge believer in Drake May right now. Danny, play me what Belichick had to say about Drake May.
He hasn't played very much. He really is doesn't have a lot of experience. And he makes some big plays like this. This is an amazing play where he kind of throws going backwards, puts the ball right on the money.
Whoa.
And those are the highlight plays that you really like from May. You know, this is one where he just doesn't really finish the play. You know, he's got, you know, double coverage here on the slot receiver. He's got guys open inside and outside of the, and just throws it into double coverage. So, again, he's going to need some work in reading defenses, reading coverages.
Here is what I learned about Drake May from Bill Belichick. The positives are everything I told you, right? The arm strength, the youth is, it can be a detriment given the lack of experience, but he's only 21, so you're going to have, you know, you have the ability to have him grow with you for 17 to 20 years potentially. So it can also be a positive, right? So the youth is a positive. The arm strength is a positive. The speed is a positive. The body type is a positive. The velocity on his ball is a positive. All that's good. The running ability and the toughness and the competitiveness, that is all positive. What's the negative? Bill Belichick said there he's going to need, he's a little inexperienced.
So Belichick would have taken Bo Nix at three?
Because he played 80 games or whatever. So Belichick said that he's inexperienced. He's going to need some help reading coverages or experience reading coverages. He also said, I thought this was very interesting, that his footwork gets sloppy, and also said that sometimes he bails on the pocket when there's not really pressure there. And that was kind of damning because we heard that about Mac too, right? How many times last year did Mac see pressure that wasn't there, throw a ball too early, get out too early, take a sack when he shouldn't have? That's Drake May also. I hope that Drake May just said, like, hey, pocket's breaking down, I'm going on and moving, right? Like, I can do this in college, and I'm just going to kind of play hero ball. I hope that's what he was doing then. It's not what I want him to see in the NFL. So Bill Belichick taught me that there are clear flaws in his game, warts in his game, things that he's going to have to improve. It's on the coaching staff now for the Patriots to coach some of that out of him and to make him better. What do I need from Drake May himself? Well, hold on. Back to the texter. Oh, you don't agree with what Belichick said. I agree perfectly fine with what Belichick said. It doesn't mean that I still wouldn't make the pick. Okay? I need, number one, I need the Patriots coaching staff to be patient and be diligent with Drake May. Right? And we didn't think that was possible the last few years in the Joe Judge, Matt Patricia, you know, setup with everything. But, and Bill O'Brien last year. There weren't enough experienced grown-ups in the room. I have to trust now that Alex Van Pelt, who has worked with a number of quarterbacks and a number of systems and a number of cities, a number of organizations, I have to hope that he can help Drake May develop, right? The things like processing and coverage reading and speed of game, I have to hope that the Patriots coaching staff is now better equipped than it's been in the past to do those things. Alex Van Pelt last year alone worked with Deshaun Watson and P.J. Walker and Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Joe Flacco and Jeff Driskel just in Cleveland alone, and that team made the playoffs. So Alex Van Pelt, I have to trust, is a guy who can help Drake May, right? The coaching staff is in place to be better than it's been. I also have to trust that Jacoby Brissett is a good veteran mentor. I do not believe that it is the veteran's job to train his understudy and train his replacement. By all accounts, though, Jacoby Brissett is willing and able and wants to do that. That is what Jacoby Brissett is here for, in part, right? Familiarity, likability, game managing, all of that is good from Brissett. Reports are out that he is willing to be a mentor. I have to trust that he is willing to teach both in the classroom and by example what Drake May should be doing. I also have to trust and see that Drake May himself wants to get better at this stuff. That Drake May wants to be a sponge, wants to learn, wants to study, wants to watch tape. I trust that he does, but that's what you're going to need. I believe that Bill Belichick's assessment is completely right. I'm sure Drake May does get sloppy footwork. He needs to work on it. He needs to perfect it. He needs to get consistently good at the boring. I was watching Trent Dilfer for a number of years, Danny, and he would say, like, good quarterbacking is, yeah, the ability to make splash plays, but also to just be consistently good at the boring details. I listened to Geno Smith talk, like, Geno, how did you come back from the abyss of the NFL? He goes, I got committed to the boring. And Drake May needs to do that, right? Get committed to working on his footwork. Get committed to perfecting going through his reads. All that, Bill Belichick, I'm sure, is completely right. And Drake may always have a little bit of, I want to bail. He may always have a little bit of that. But I trust that the other stuff can get better with this coaching staff, with his own workability or his own work ethic, with his veteran leader next to him in Jacoby Brissett, and what now I hope is going to be a better team around him as well that takes some of the onus off of him and puts it on them because they can do some of the work as well. He's an imperfect player. He's not a finished product, but he absolutely can get better, and the upside is undeniable. Danny, I have used this metaphor many times, and it is my favorite metaphor to use, the video game analogy. Okay? When you would play a video game as a kid, you'd play a football game, every single player had a rating. Best players were 99s, worst players were 50s. Well, I believe that Mac Jones came into the league at like a 72, right? I think he came in pretty good, pretty solid. But I never thought there was room for growth. I never thought there was room for upside, right? He had already had the best teammates possible. He had already had the best coaching staff possible. He had already, like, he wasn't going to get faster. He wasn't going to get his arm that much better. Like, Mac Jones, I thought, maybe had peaked at Alabama. So he's coming in at a 72, and heck, he may get up to a 77, but he wasn't going to go any higher than that. Drake May, I think, is coming in at a 65. He's coming in worse than Mac Jones is. Right? He's coming in worse. He's played with worse players. He's had worse coaching. He hasn't been at the top of his game. He's a little less refined. But I think the upside is undeniable, and the upside is there for him to go from that 65 to an 85 or a 90 eventually. Now the question is going to be, how long does it take to get him there? Right? Josh Allen came in at a 65, turned into a 98. Patrick Mahomes probably came in at a 70, turned into a 99. Okay. I think that's the same kind of thing we're talking about with Drake May here. Comes in at a 65, comes in raw, comes in talented but raw with flaws. Through work ethic, through good coaching, through better teammates, I think he can get up to that 90. And if you get that, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I saw somebody say the other day that Drake May is nothing more than a Jared Goff clone. You know what? If Drake May became Jared Goff, I'd be thrilled. Right? If he was Jared Goff, Danny, with more athleticism, I would be thrilled. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl and an NFC title game with two different organizations. Jared Goff, as much as people want to clown on him, has a pretty accomplished career already. And he's not even 30 years old, I don't think. Or he's barely 30 if he is. Right? Jared Goff's been pretty accomplished. If Drake May becomes Jared Goff with better legs, I'd gladly take that. That would put him in that 85 range. And you know what that is? It's a hell of a lot better than Jacoby Brissett. It's a hell of a lot better than Mac Jones. 802-585-3026. Tex says, the pick in the second round needs to be the best offensive tackle that is left. I would be fine with that. But tonight, second round, third round, needs to be offensive tackle and wide receiver. Like, that's what it needs to be. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I have every name and I have a big board of guys that I want. I want those positions. However you get them, I want those positions tonight. Offensive tackle and wide receiver. That is the best way to help Drake May moving forward. Tex says, Brady, you were right about the draft. And it's longer than that. But I will say, Danny, I was right about this. And I don't mean to be arrogant about it. But all the people who said, like, oh, you could trade down and still get a quarterback later. Or, man, you could trade down and, or you could take a receiver and then trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. I knew that wasn't going to happen. And it was borne out last night, right? Teams were desperate for a quarterback. Teams know how important the quarterback position is. They were desperate and yearning for it.
It was six in the first 12 picks, right? First time ever.
Six in the first 12 picks, first time ever. Second time ever you've had six in the first round. So, like, if you traded with Minnesota at 11, like we all talked about, right? If you traded with Minnesota at 11, you would have already been down. There would have only been Bo Nix left. That was a risk that I wasn't willing to take. The Patriots smartly didn't. If you traded, or if you thought you could take a receiver in Harrison and then trade back in into the first round at 20-something to get a quarterback, you couldn't. Everybody was gone then. And I knew that was going to be the case. I said yesterday, the only option I was willing to entertain was, you know, trading, to the Giants at six. That was it. You still would have had a choice of McCarthy, Penix, or Nix at six. I could have been okay with that, but it was still a risk. Okay. It was still a risk. I'm glad with what the Patriots did. They didn't take an unnecessary risk. They got the guy they wanted. They got the guy I think they needed. And they got the guy this franchise needed. Drake May, new member, New England Patriots. Danny, let's hear from May. May was asked about the idea that the Pats are not a good situation for a rookie quarterback. Give me Drake May, number three.
I think they're wrong. I think, you know, they had that defense last year, you know, had a lot of teams at low points and, you know, looking forward to helping anyway in the offense, offensively. And, just looking forward to being there with Coach Mayo in his first year. Congrats to him. And, you know, I think anybody who's saying that, I think, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll find out this coming this season. Just going to, you know, work hard with the guys and, you know, prove them wrong.
Smart answer, right? Like, that's what you expect them to say. Like, the quarterback is the CEO of your franchise. He gave a very boring, workman-like, CEO-like answer. That's what I expect. That's what I want. Okay? That's what I want. Like, what more do you want him to say than that? He's never met these guys. He doesn't know. He hasn't worked with the coaching staff. He hasn't talked a lot of football with this, you know, with this group. He said, look, I'm excited to contribute any way I can. I think those people are wrong, and hopefully we'll prove them wrong this season. Are the Patriots a bad situation for a rookie quarterback, Danny? They're certainly not as advantageous as Minnesota, right? Minnesota is a great circumstance for a rookie quarterback. The Patriots, I believe, are trending into being a workable situation. Okay. Alex Van Pelt to me is a huge hire as the offensive coordinator. I think he is going to be excellent. I think that you have a defensive minded head coach who's able to take care of the defense to help prop up that unit to support you. You've got a young coach who I think gets the way the modern day player acts, which is good. And then I also think that it's, you know, if they do the draft right, they have a chance to get a lot of young and intriguing pieces. And then next year, I'll expect them to go out and spend in free agency and things like that. It's not a perfect situation, but it's trending in the right direction. If they handle things right tonight, wide receiver, offensive lineman, it's going to really trend that way. But Drake May, I think, has passed all the tests so far in terms of how you act with the media. I read good impressions from what people in Boston have said about kind of their first interactions with him as well. Danny, give me Bill Belichick number four. I thought this was interesting yesterday as well.
They got a lot of work to do. They all do. As far as consistency, anybody can go out there. These guys can go out there and make some flash plays, and we'll see more of them as the night goes on. It's the consistency over and over that makes them the championship quarterbacks that everybody's looking for in this league.
You have to get good at the boring, right? Have to get good at the boring. And, Danny, I think when you are physically gifted, right, when you're so much more physically gifted than the guys you're playing against, and Drake May is more physically gifted than a lot of the guys he plays against, he's able to just, like, he'll say, like, okay, the play is breaking down. I'm going to go do it myself, and I'm going to play hero ball. When you play hero ball, things can get screwy on you, right? Your processing can go, your decision-making, your discipline, your footwork, all of it, because you're trying to do too much. Drake May, I hope, to Belichick's point, needs to find that consistency of being good at every little detail and being it all the time. When I say get good at the boring, that's what Drake May needs to do. Getting his footwork going perfectly on every single throw. Not being lazy in how he makes the handoff. Not being lazy in how he does the play call. Using a proper cadence. All the stuff that we never talk about, Drake May now needs to work to get good at. But I love this pick. I love the way I'm feeling today. This is the most optimistic I have felt about the Patriots in 4 years since Tom Brady left. I liked Cam, but I knew it wasn't a long-term play. I never loved the pick of Mac Jones. I was always wishing they had done something different. Today, I am hopeful about the New England Patriots. Will Drake May play day one? I don't know. I see some people that say don't rush him. I see other people that say play him right away. I think initially I was in the play him, you know, play whoever you pick day one. Given that Drake May is a bit of a project, I don't need to play him probably every snap of the entire season. I probably would play Jacoby Brissett 4 or 5 games and see where we're at. I want to see Drake May play next year. I want to see him play 10-plus games next year. But I don't know that I have to see him play day one. We'll see how training camp goes. We'll see how the preseason goes. But we'll see how the health of the team is around him at the time. But sit for 5 games, 7 games. If the Pats are 2-5, then we turn it over to him. I can be okay with that. I reserve the right to change my opinion on this as we see him develop. But if Jacoby Brissett plays for the first month and they're 0-4 and we turn it over to Drake May, I can be fine with that too. But overall, I'm happy and I'm hopeful. It's the Brady Farkas Show on WDEV, AM and FM, and WDEVradio.com. CBS News is next. Glenn in Brookfield says, absolutely satisfied with the pick. They did the right thing. May is a stud. Footwork can be coached. Footwork can be coached. And then it's just about you making the commitment to doing it, right? And I have to trust that they know enough about his work ethic and they got a good enough impression of him or from him about himself that he will be committed to working on that stuff. He's got to get good at the boring. He's got to embrace the boring. Tech says, I hope the Patriots trade for T. Higgins tonight. I hope the Patriots get a wide receiver tonight. Okay, if they trade for T. Higgins, if they trade for Brandon Ayuk, if they draft one, I'll be good. Now, T. Higgins is going to cost a lot of money. Brandon Ayuk is going to cost a lot of money. Can I get a guy that is tracking to be in that same ballpark in the second round? Maybe I can. They need a wide receiver. I would prefer it be done cheaper, but those guys are established and we already know they're good. So if they end up making that move, I'm not going to crush them because I asked them to go out and spend big in free agency. They didn't. If they trade for a guy and then extend him, I'll be disappointed that they had to give up something, but I will probably be okay. Right? They need to get weapons however they need to get them. Again, I would prefer that they had just spent money in free agency, then go out and trade a pick and spend money, but hey, beggars can't always be choosers. Pats need to go out and get weapons, and it starts tonight. They're going to be on the clock a little over an hour from now with the second pick of the night. Danny, real quick, Celtics and Heat in Game 3 coming up tomorrow. Play me the Tim Legler sound of ESPN, Tim Legler 1.
And here's the adjustments. Here's what Miami did to them.
The Boston Celtics need to go down to Miami and win Game 3 decisively. And if they do that, they will immediately flip the script. They'll put away all the talk that this is going to be a long series. They're in trouble. It's dangerous. The Heat, Eric Spoelstra, all that. All those things are true about Miami, particularly Spoelstra. But the Boston Celtics can reverse this mentality immediately.
Danny, I said to play the Tim Legler audio.
That was Legs.
Wait, was that Tim Legler or was that Brady Farkas?
That was Legs.
Because I'm pretty sure that's what I've been saying.
Oh, okay? You're taking credit for Legs?
Danny's okay with just like, hey, we'll win. However we win, we win. Okay, if we win by 2 or win by 20, no big deal, whatever. Now, I need a decisive win. I need the stink of Game 2 erased. And the way to do that is to go down there and hand an inferior team a serious L. That's what we need. Do the Celtics need to win it by 20? No, I'm not that selfish. I'm pretty selfish, but I'm not that selfish. The Celtics need to go to Miami. They need to establish themselves in the first quarter. The first 5 minutes of this game will set the tone for the rest of the game. I want to see the Celtics up at the end of one, 36-21, and not look back. I want to see a double-digit victory. I want to see the Celtics win this game 110-97, Danny. That's my desire. 110-97. I want them in your grill. I want them in your face. The physicality that they gave you in Game 2, I want you to give right back to them.
That's
Are
fair.
You with me?
I'm with you. I think they should also win the next two games after that, though, the same
yes,
way.
Yes, they should win the next two games after that.
So even if they're close, I want a gentleman sweep. That's what they're capable of. That's what they should do.
Get the victory. Get it decisively. Danny, Red Sox music. Cubs, Red Sox coming up 1 minute from now. Shota Imanaga, the rookie from Japan, pitches for Chicago. He's 3-0 with a .84. Cutter Crawford goes for the Sox, 1-0 with a .66. Nico Horner leads off at second for Chicago. Mike Tauchman's in right. Ian Happ in left. Christopher Morel is the third baseman. Michael Bush, the youngster, is at first. Dansby Swanson is the shortstop. Matt Mervis, the rookie, is the DH. Carlos Amaya is the catcher, Miguel Amaya, he bats eighth. And then Pete Crow Armstrong, the top prospect, bats ninth. Duran in center, Tyler O'Neill in right, Rob Refsnyder in left. Devers the DH, Connor Wong the catcher, Pablo Reyes at third, Bobby Dalbec at first, and Manuel Valdez at second, and Sedan Rafaela is at shortstop. We'll be watching the draft all weekend. We'll be breaking it down on Monday. Monday we will have a full show here on the Brady Farkas Show. Go Sox, go Pats, go Celtics, go Bruins. We'll see you Monday on the evening.